$12 an hour. Imagine working for that kind of money, less than half the minimum wage. Around a quarter of international students and a third of backpackers are paid at this rate. It's referred to as wage theft, and new research out today shows it's rife in Australia. Natalie James is the Fair Work Ombudsman. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how will you action the finding of this report? Because it's pretty alarming stuff. Will you investigate further into individual cases? What's the plan?
The Fair Work Ombudsman has been focused on visa holder workers for quite some time. In fact, nearly half of all the cases we put into court last year involved a visa worker, which is pretty extraordinary given they're only about 6% or so of the labour force. We know there's a lot more we need to do, though. There's a lot more we need to do to reach visa workers, to make sure they feel comfortable coming forward to us and lodging complaints and seeking our assistance.
Earlier this year, you litigated against a company in Victoria who failed to pay an Afghan refugee. They were fined over $600,000. Is this the kind of action you'll take? And is that difficult to, you know, to land those kinds of results?
It certainly can involve a lot of work for us to get those outcomes. So we only take the most serious of cases to court. And that particular example was a terrible case of a worker who indeed hadn't been paid for many of the hours that he'd worked. And so one of the challenges we find is often there are poor records. The employer is supposed to keep records, but the worst of employers don't, sometimes to cover up wage theft. And one of the things we've done is encouraged workers to keep their own diaries in the event that they want to make a claim. We've actually got an app, Record My Hours, which is involved in a range of languages, and it uses the geofencing technology to enable workers to record the hours they're at work. You can adjust it for your breaks and what have you, but we know that we can use that if necessary to pursue claims, and in fact it could form the basis of evidence in court should we end up having to go there.
Given you think this is quite widespread, do you have the resources to do the kind of investigatory work you need to do to genuinely deliver justice to the many people who are clearly having their wages stolen?
Well, Patricia, it is absolutely true that any regulator worth their salt would say, if you delivered me more resources, I could do more. I would say, though, to give the government credit, that they increased our budget last year and in the coming few years to help us do more in this area. And so in addition to a small increase in our resources, the government has also managed through the Parliament the passage of the Protecting Vulnerable Workers Act, which increases penalties for exploitation of workers and for those cases where employers haven't kept those records that they're supposed to be keeping.
So what other law reform might be necessary? You talked about that particular law, but is there a further beefing up of laws which might be necessary to ensure that these workers aren't exploited?
Certainly there are more things that I think the government should be looking at, and in the past I have raised concerns about the way corporations law and migration law intersect with the work laws, and this is something that is under consideration at the moment. The minister set up the Migrant Worker Task Force, which is chaired by Professor Alan Fells, and I'm a member of that task force, as are a number of other parts of government. And Professor Fells and his colleague, Professor Cousins, they've been consulting across a range of stakeholders, academics like the good people who produce this report, and government and not-for-profit organisations, community legal centres, to look for possible changes in the law. And they'll be making recommendations to the minister, and I think there'll be more to come in this space.
Can you paint me a picture of the kind of jobs we're talking about here and who's working in them, the sort of demographic kind of breakdown of what we're looking at?
What we find is that the cases where we find people aren't being paid correctly and it's systemic, so there are lots of reasons why underpayment could occur. I should say that sometimes employers make mistakes. We help them fix mistakes, and most employers, when we approach them, do address concerns. Areas where we're very concerned about systemic underpayment are areas involving low-skill work that are often very labour-intensive, and sometimes areas where you see a lot of procurement, competitive tendering. So cleaning and security are two areas where we see that. We also see and have concerns about hospitality. So Hospitality, unfortunately, tops all of our polls, and I don't mean in a good way, when it comes to the number of complaints, including our anonymous tip-off. So you can make an anonymous tip-off on our website, including in a range of different languages. And hospitality consistently outrates every other industry. About a third of all of the tip-offs we receive are from that industry. It's an industry with a lot of young people, and around a quarter of the people who come to us for help are under the age of 25. So young workers, workers from a migrant background who are facing a range of additional challenges in the workplace, often find themselves in these lower skilled areas. And that seems to create a dynamic, particularly if you layer on top of that chains of contracts and lots of very intensive competitive procurement. That creates a recipe for exploitation of workers. Doesn't happen on every occasion like that, but they are features we see again and again.
Natalie, many thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Natalie James is the Fair Work Ombudsman, and I wonder if you've seen any evidence of this kind of exploitation. 0418 226 576 is the number that you can text me on, and I do read all of your text messages. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.